This is Startup Nation Radio, the show to learn about how to start and grow your own business.
You got to follow your own compass. You got to execute on what you really believe in.
Well, the principles of entrepreneurship, I think, are universal. I just got off a plane from India yesterday.
Business in India? Are you kidding me?
Entrepreneurs benefit from learning from each other.
Hey, Rich, you're calling in from The Nation. What do you have for us this week?
Well, first of all, The Nation is alive and well. Entrepreneurs are jamming it.
The time is now.
The real question is, do you have the confidence, the resources, and the support?
It's always a good time to get into business.
Don't stop believing. It's time for Startup Nation with Jeff Sloan.
All right. It is time for Startup Nation Radio, the show for you to learn about how to start and grow your own dream business. Today, we're going to focus on online marketplaces, otherwise known as exchanges, that facilitate an opportunity for you to get into business without having to create all of that infrastructure yourself. They've done it for you. We're talking eBay and Etsy today on Startup Nation Radio. Join us to learn how to make it work for you.
You're listening to Startup Nation Radio on News Talk 760 WJR. Here's Jeff Sloan.
Okay, welcome to this edition of Startup Nation Radio. Today we're going to be focused on exchanges and online marketplaces, and eBay and Etsy are prime examples of those. We're going to learn how we can make them work for us, and we hope to pass along all the information you need. If you're interested in getting into a business part-time, full-time, this is a great way to do it. So we're going to break it down for you, and hopefully, hey, you'll have an Etsy business or an eBay business tomorrow, as you should. So before we get into all that, though, I want to remind everyone, if you have a question for our guest today during the show, 800-859-0957 is the call-in number. I want to recognize the great sponsors of Startup Nation Radio. Walsh College, been there from the very beginning. Tara Maselli and the crew, thank you. Comerica Bank and Pappas Financial is the latest sponsor of Startup Nation Radio. Pappas Financial has been a trusted advisor to small business owners for over 40 years. They guide entrepreneurs on strategies that protect their businesses and personal assets, implement company benefit solutions, and provide a roadmap for business owners to ultimately transfer their hard-earned gains to their estate. Get started right and stay on track. To help you do just that, get Pappas Financial on your team. Reach out to Norm Pappas and his team at 248-539-8282 and tell him Startup Nation and Jeff sent you, and I know they'll take great care of you. Listen, you need to start right, and part of starting right is doing the kinds of things that Pappas Financial can do for you, so check them out. Before we get into our subject matter, we've got Bree Sissoko, the great producer of Startup Nation Radio, in the studio today on my side of the glass. Bree.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for having me in here on this side. Today's giveaway is going to be two prints for the For Love of Maps Etsy shop. They're really great. You can check them out on our Twitter at Startup Nation or on our website, www.startupnation.com/radio.
Okay, that's a cool giveaway. Give us a Bree. Yeah, there you're holding up on the live
stream. I don't know if you can see them over there on the live stream, but we've got them here in the studio ready to hand away. So please call us.
Yep, and the live stream, that's a good opportunity to remind everyone, startupnation.com/radio. You can watch the show live. You can check out archived versions of the show. So, Bree, thank you. That's a cool giveaway.
All right, guys. I'll be behind taking your calls.
Okay, very good. Thanks, Bree. All right, now, we're going to get right into it. We're going to first, small business starts with a culture, inspiration, motivation, a desire to, get started, take control of your own life. And I love it when entrepreneurs starts with young people. And Huntington Bank has a really, really cool program that we're going to just talk about for a minute or two, and then we're going to get to the Etsy and eBay discussion. Lisa Brinker is with us from Huntington Bank. She's the Assistant Vice President of Regional Marketing for Huntington Bank. And I love this program. Lisa, let's get those kids started right. Tell us what Huntington's doing with its Lemonade Day for Huntington Bank.
Hi, Jeff, and we're just so happy. Happy Lemonade Day.
Hey, happy Lemonade. It's any day is a good day for lemonade, but this is great. Lemonade Day really for us, and in this case, Lisa, means getting kids started, getting them inspired about entrepreneurship. Tell us what the program's all about.
Absolutely. It's actually a national program, and Huntington is pleased to have been the presenting sponsor who brought it to Michigan. This is our fourth year for it. And it's an experiential education program that teaches kids how to start and run a business. I think every kid has always wanted to, or probably has, had their lemonade stand out there, and most kids borrow ingredients and things from mom and dad and put a sign out and hope for the best. But this program teaches the kids everything that they need to do, the same way that if I were starting my own business, they would have to go through setting their goals and developing their plans and finding investors and creating their product and pricing and marketing. And it just, you know, they get to go through all of that. They put their business together, they run it for a day, and then with their profits, the kids are encouraged to spend some on themselves as a reward for their hard work, to save some for the future, and to share some with the community that supported them by giving back to a charity of their choice.
So the listeners of Startup Nation, the great listeners out in our nation that are hearing about this, how can they support the program?
You know, today is Lemonade Day, and so we've got hundreds of kids across the Detroit metro area who have lemonade stands. So if you're out and about and you see someone with a lemonade stand, hit the brakes, turn around, go back, buy some lemonade from these kids and encourage them. And then, you know, we're looking at doing this again next year. If there are, if there's anyone who is interested in becoming a sponsor, you can go to detroit.lemonadeday.org. And just raise your hand and say, hey, we're interested in being involved with this.
Well, I love this. I mean, first of all, again, as I mentioned earlier, I love the idea of getting kids started earlier, getting them inspired, getting them to learn about business. I mean, there's nothing better than being able to take control over your own life and having a business of your own, or even supplementing your income with a part-time business and learning at a young age in all regards, but as it relates to this show anyway, in particular, as it relates to entrepreneurship, is a wonderful thing. You know, you mentioned, and it sounds simple, it might even sound pedestrian, that, you know, everything that you'd be doing in your own business, they're doing today in these lemonade stands, but it's really true. Business is relatively simple. I mean, they've got to make good product, right? The lemonade's got to taste good.
Absolutely.
They've got to attract traffic. They've got to put up a sign and draw traffic to their stand, right?
Absolutely.
And they've got to manage money. They've got to pay for the inventory. They've got to take the money that's coming in on the sales and take care of it appropriately and account for it appropriately, provide change back to the customer. And they've got to provide a good level of customer service, good engagement with the customer. So, you know, and on it goes. But I love it. Congratulations for a wonderful program, reaching over 55,000 kids now nationwide. Is that right, Lisa?
55,000 kids just in the Detroit metro area.
In Detroit. Wow.
There's over, there's close to 500,000 nationwide and in Canada who are doing the program throughout the year.
Incredible. Best of luck, Lisa. I'm going to check back with you. I want to find out how it's going. Startup Nation also is interested in supporting that program. We'd like to make a contribution. We'd like to buy some lemonade. So I'll be in touch with you to do that offline. Thank you so much, and great program. Congratulations.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Okay. Now listen, when we get back, we're going to get into eBay and Etsy marketplaces. We're going to help break it down and help get you started to have one of your own. We're going to speak first with Suzanne Wells. She's an eBay guru. So, hey, we love hearing from the gurus. Let's learn a thing or two right after this break about how to start an eBay store. Stick with us on Startup Nation Radio.
Welcome back to Startup Nation on WJR. Here's Jeff Sloan.
Okay, welcome back to Startup Nation Radio. Today brought to you by Pappas Financial, Comerica Bank, and Walsh College, as always great supporters of Startup Nation Radio and of entrepreneurship. Well, listen, we're going to talk about marketplaces. Again, we kind of teed it up in the beginning. This is where you can use the infrastructure of these exchanges, these big exchanges that are drawing big traffic, and they provide you all of the infrastructure you need to get a store started and to begin selling. They provide all the e-commerce capability, everything you need to get into business, whether part-time or full-time. Let's start with the king of marketplaces, eBay, and let's start with a guru. How about Suzanne Wells? Welcome to Startup Nation Radio.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate you having me on, and don't call me a guru.
I know. That's a lot of pressure, isn't it?
Well, people call me that, but I learn new things every day. There's so many amazing sellers out there that teach online, and I learn from them. I learn from regular people, and there's always something new to learn in this business.
All right. Well, I think it'd be safe to say, though, whether guru or not, you certainly know a thing or two about eBay. Tell us a little bit about your experience with eBay.
Okay, I got involved with eBay in 2003. I went through a divorce and lost my job in the same month. And it was what I would call a life crisis. trying to figure out what to do, and I just started selling some things online to get bills paid. And after about a month, I had made $1,500 just selling stuff around my house I wasn't even using.
And let me just ask you, Suzanne, when you say selling stuff online, you mean on eBay?
On eBay, yes.
Yeah.
On
so
eBay.
Did you do it in an auction way, kind of as an individual, or did you actually open an eBay store or an eBay business, if you will?
Well, when I first started, I was just testing the waters to see what was this all about, and really it was desperation to get money coming in. And then after a while, I realized, after a couple months, that you could do this on purpose as a business,
yeah.
You know?
Yep, indeed.
And later, about 6 months later, I opened a store. You know, I committed to doing this full-time. I never even looked for another job, and it was just so many opportunities and so much abundance in this country to find inventory to sell. It just was easy.
So, Suzanne, in the beginning, when you said you really needed to turn to something to bring in income right away, and you started selling online as an eBay user at that time, not really an eBay business or store, and we'll talk about the nuances and the differences between the two. Was it the kind of thing where you literally, you know, kind of like the flea market or garage sale thing where you went through things that you owned that you just posted for sale at that time that you no longer needed or could live without or more needed cash than needed those items? Or did
Absolutely.
You go out?
Absolutely, yeah. Okay. I just started going through my house room by room, closet by closet, and looking things up to see the value on the eBay marketplace.
Right, and that's a good point. You can, to help price your things or to know what you should sell them for, they do provide a tool to do that.
Well, basically, you can go on eBay and just search the completed listings, and you'll see all the things that, the listings that ended, and whether they sold or didn't sell. And you can take that information to determine what your item will sell for, if anything.
Yeah, and you can also, I know a good trick, too, is you can also look at how many bids an item got, so you can see how what the demand was for that item. And, of course, you want to try to find the items that, you know, sell for the highest price. If you're going to make the effort, better to sell a $50 item than a $4 item. But you can also kind of get an idea of what the market, where the market demand is by looking at what items get the most attention, right?
Exactly. Well, eBay has changed a lot since it started, and it was known for auctions for many years, and then they added different listing types. So the bidding activity isn't as much of an indicator now as it used to be. We can put things on sale for a fixed price, and then it just takes one buyer and that item sells.
Right. So what is the difference, the essential difference, between just, you know, selling things as a user, either by auction or by fixed price, buy it now, or, you know, actually being an eBay store?
Well, most at-home sellers, as we call ourselves, who sell just a random variety of things, I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought.
Well, I was asking what the difference is between a user
and
a store. Yes.
A lot of people don't have stores because it's not cost effective. They don't have enough merchandise for sale to justify paying a store fee. However, if you are selling like a branded item and eBay is part of where you sell your item, then you would have a store, so it could be branded.
Okay, so if I want to be an eBay business, and I guess people can define that for themselves, right? I mean, this could be a way to just make additional income, or it could be, you know, my full-time source of income. But to be an eBay business, whether it's a store or whether I'm just posting things on as a user, what are some of the basic things I need to have at the ready in order to be in business as an eBay, you know, to be as an eBay business?
Okay, you definitely need a PayPal account. That is where most of your buyers are going to pay, the platform they'll use.
Okay, so that's the e-commerce component.
Right, exactly. If you're an at-home seller or somebody who's just going to try it out, the most important tool you need is a postage scale. It doesn't have to print postage, just something to weigh your items on so you can figure out how much to charge the buyer.
Okay.
Other than that, that's all you really need. Shipping supplies you can get as you get into it and figure out what you're going to need. But you don't really need to do a whole lot of supply buying to get set up in this business, which is why so many people get started in it, because there's not a lot of barriers to entry.
That's exactly right, and that's the thing I love about this. Again, whether part-time, full-time, I mean, they've done it all for you. They built the exchange. They've got the e-commerce component there. They've got the traffic. They've got the engine that matches up the people who are interested in buying certain things with the supply side. It's relatively turnkey.
Oh, absolutely. eBay is what connects you with your buyer. And, you know, a lot of new people starting out, they don't like the fees. they think, you know, it costs too much, but for what you're paying for eBay to connect you with millions of buyers worldwide, the price is totally worth it. You can't do that anywhere else.
What percentage of stuff sells? You know, what's the success rate?
Well, that's going to depend on the seller and the product. I really am not even going to attempt to answer that.
But just, no, in your own experience, no, I'm not saying generally across the exchange. I'm saying in your own experience, I mean, here you're saying clearly, I mean, you're paying fees to post things for mm-hmm. sale. That's the way it works. When you post something for sale, you pay an upfront fee, right? Then you pay a percentage of the back end when you sell something, right?
Right, exactly. You pay a final
okay.
value.
So assuming, you know, you're paying these fees, you're getting these things listed, you're making a certain level of sales. Obviously, the sales have to offset the things that don't sell. And
right.
it seems, you know, clearly it's a leading question. I know you're having good success with it. But what can someone expect just generally? You know, what percentage of things sell as a guidepost?
I think a good sell-through rate is 30% on your first time through selling an
okay,
item.
Okay, so even though 70% don't sell, you can still be successful.
Because you're going to relist it. And eBay runs these free listing promotions all the time, and you get a certain number of free listings a month. And smaller sellers who don't, have a lot of inventory to sell, or if you're just getting started and you don't want to pay the upfront fees, they rely on those free listings, either fixed price or auction. So they don't have anything upfront. They can't lose. If it doesn't sell, it didn't cost you anything.
Okay. I have a couple of other just quick-hitting questions. In terms of inventory, you know, you talked about you got started by finding things around your home. You also made reference to being able to go out and find, you know, items that can be, you know, purchased low in aggregate, let's say at wholesale, and posted on eBay and sold at retail, right?
Exactly.
And where do you find these things? How does someone find inventory? How do you do that?
Well, my business model is using what's available to me in my community that I can get cheap, which is garage sales, thrift stores, consignment stores, estate sales. And it's actually being a picker, like American
uh-huh.
pickers.
Right, right.
Most of the eBay community who is the at-home seller is doing that.
But you can also find, in addition to that, and that takes a lot of skill because you have to know to, you know, what price to pay as the right price before you, if you're going to go out and buy at wholesale and sell at retail, you need to make sure you're not buying it more than wholesale if you're going to make it work, right? So you need to educate yourself about what price points are right for particular items. You need a good breadth of knowledge if you're going to a garage sale because they're not themed items. You're looking at a broad array of items, right?
Right, and that goes back to the learning something new every day.
Yeah.
You'll find out what's in demand. But, you know, the downside of the wholesale side of it is the minimums you have to buy, because a lot of people are pretty risk-averse getting into this, and they don't want to buy 1,000 units of something
mm-hmm.
to sit in their garage and maybe not sell. You have to have, you know, certain credentials and qualifications to buy wholesale.
Right, so you're talking as opposed to going out to the garages and picking,
right.
as you put it, which I think now we all know from the cable TV show, we know that terminology and that reference. You could buy lots of things, either, you know, excess inventory, overstock, that kind of stuff, right?
Right, and that's where you can buy things, you know, go to Costco and, like, buy their store returns.
Right.
Or, you know, go on Craigslist and find that somebody, a small business going out of business, and buy their inventory.
Yep.
You can buy it in smaller lots.
Right. What about a theme? I mean, do you have to, if you're an eBay store, you know, people have to find you if you're an eBay seller. Is it important to have, you know, a themed grouping of items, or could I have a broad array of items?
Not necessarily. One question on my Facebook group, we have now 13,000 sellers in there, and we talk every day. The new ones come in and say, what do I sell? You know, what is your niche? And the answer is, whatever I can make money on.
Okay. So I could do it. I mean, I've seen some stores that do have a theme. They sell, for example, you know, audio CDs or videos or whatever it may be. And then there's other things that, and I know to go to those sellers to buy those things. But then there's also,
right.
you know, stores that people, you kind of get, you get into the favorite seller status of particular buyers that just love shopping from you because they know you're a great buyer. You find the things that they want to own and they keep coming back to buy more.
Exactly. You know, some sellers do have a niche. You know, they do have a specialty. Maybe their hobby is scrapbooking, so they know all about that. Or they're a musician, and they know all about that niche. So there are definitely stores that have a theme, and they have a particular product line. But that's not required. You
okay.
can sell whatever you want. It doesn't have to all, you know, match and be in the same category.
Suzanne, is it full-time or part-time for you as a source of income?
Right now it's part-time. It was full-time for 6 years, but now it's it's part-time.
But eBayers, you know, I know there are eBayers out there who are doing it full-time and using it as a sole source of income, right?
Absolutely.
It's amazing.
Quite a few.
Yeah. And some people even making seven-figure kind of income.
Yes, absolutely.
Amazing, amazing. All right, well, listen. Well, you know what? After this discussion, I'm going to have to go with Guru. So thank you, Suzanne. Better on the back end of the interview, I guess, to be called Guru. But thank you so much for sharing your wisdom. We appreciate you being on Startup Nation Radio, and continued good luck as an eBayer.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right, thank you. Now, when we come back after the break, we're going to move right along from eBay to Etsy. So stick with us. You're going to learn how to sell on Etsy in just a minute.
It's Startup Nation on WJR.
Easy to follow instructions on achieving your dream
by taking action now.
Here's Jeff Sloan.
All right, no excuses about why not to get into business, especially with eBay and Etsy around. This is Startup Nation Radio. We're talking about ways you can get your dream business started. And look, if you haven't figured out exactly how you're going to get your business started or where to get the money or, you know, all of the logistics involved in getting a business started, but you want to be in business, you want to dip your toe in the water, or maybe you've got an interesting supply of inventory that you want to get rid of, eBay and Etsy, they provide the infrastructure, they provide all the connectivity between buyers and sellers, and they bring the traffic. It's kind of a plug-and-play situation. It's really cool. We just heard a lot about eBay. Moving right along, in a minute we're going to hear about Etsy. Before we get to that, recognizing our great sponsors, Pappas Financial, Comerica Bank, and Walsh College. Well, Etsy. Everyone's heard of eBay. Not that many people, relatively speaking, have heard of Etsy, but it's also a very, very powerful marketplace. And we're going to hear from an Etsy expert, Sharon Duca. Welcome to Startup Nation Radio. You're our Etsy guru.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
So, Sharon, first a little bit about you, and then we'll get into Etsy for a second. You are our Etsy expert. When did you get started with Etsy, and where did your expertise come from?
Well, I started in Etsy in 2008 when Etsy was relatively new. A friend of mine got me there kicking and screaming, actually. I was doing all the markets and all the regular things that silversmiths do. I'm a silversmith. And not making a living. And one of my girlfriends, who is a very smart business person, stumbled upon Etsy and told me about it and said, "You've got to try this." And she crunched the numbers for me. And the numbers made a lot of sense.
Well, I mean, first of all, in 2013, Etsy generated over $1.4 billion in sales for its users. So, I mean, that number makes a lot of sense.
That's right.
That's a compelling number. So if someone wants to, first tell me this, what's the difference really essentially between eBay and Etsy? I mean, if I want to start and use an exchange like an eBay or an Etsy, why pick Etsy over eBay?
I call Etsy the eBay for artists.
And that's really kind of what it's known for. I mean, that's the way I know it, too, you know, for crafts, handmade, homemade, one-of-a-kind kinds of things, as opposed to, you know, I mentioned on eBay you could buy at wholesale, say, for example, audio CDs or DVDs, whatever. That's not the kind of stuff you're seeing on Etsy. You're seeing more handmade, maybe fashion items, crafts, right? That kind of thing.
What I would say is you're seeing more art as opposed to manufactured goods.
So, for example,
some of us end up, you know, just due to our sales increasing, have to go into a little bit of a manufacturer mode. And I know some people have had to expand and use manufacturers now. But again, at the beginning, when most of us started on Etsy, and most when you start up, most people are starting up as a hobby or a home-based business, hoping to make a little money on the side. I know I didn't think of it as a career path until it became essential. And now it is the way I make my living. I did $60,000 in sales last year.
What do you sell? What do you sell on Etsy?
I'm a silversmith.
Silversmith, that's right. So jewelry items, handmade, and they're things that
yes.
You make, right?
That's correct. I make each and every piece.
And someone, as opposed to, you know, not, people out there have to be saying, well, God, I'm not an artist. I'm not a craftsperson. I don't know how to make something artistically. But you could also, as a business, you could source those things too, right? You don't have to be the person that makes them.
On Etsy, there are some rules. You have to be involved in the manufacture process. You can sublet pieces of your work, but the whole point of Etsy is that you're buying from the artist.
Okay, so I could be the artist, and I could, as an artist, be both the artist who designs, envisions, creates these things, as well as produces them, or I could be the company that manufactures designs that are maybe sourced and sold on. Okay, great. So that's an important distinction, and I'm glad to know it. So to set up a shop on Etsy, is the process very similar to eBay, or are there unique differences?
Well, I haven't set up a shop on eBay because it doesn't make sense for me to do so. I'd be competing with China, and I can't do that. So on Etsy, it's a little bit different, and that's the thing. You set up, they've got a really nice template for your shop, so you have to take pictures and pretty much plug everything in. So the first thing you do is set up a shop. There's all sorts of categories and things that they want you to fulfill, like your policies, who you are. There's a place to talk about the artist. So when you flesh all of that out, then you've got your shop set up. The more items, the better. I didn't start selling until I had over 100 items in my store. People want to come to shop, so they want a fleshed out shop when they get there. If you're going to go through all the trouble of driving traffic there, you should have a shop set up nicely.
Right, and the cool thing that I picked up on that you just said is that you don't have to compete with China. And essentially by that, what you mean is on eBay, again, because many of these things can be manufactured goods, you don't have to be the artist, as you said. They're not necessarily, they can be, but they're not necessarily on eBay unique items
items
from an artist. And so you're competing in a marketplace where you know the traffic's coming to Etsy, looking specifically for one-of-a-kind, unique, original, maybe handmade in some cases, items. And that's a unique difference between the eBay shopper and the Etsy shopper. And that gives the advantage to you, the person selling.
Exactly. They're looking to the artist. They're looking for an artist. A lot of the people contact me. They want to know who I am. I've developed some friendships via my work just because of that. People really like to know who you are.
And the other cool thing about people coming specifically either to, you know, have a relationship with you, know who you are, be a repeat customer, know that they're going to, you know, the kind of quality of stuff they're going to get from you, is that you get a little more wiggle room on pricing, because this is not about, you know, best price like in some cases on eBay it might be. This is really about the uniqueness of the item and the desire for the shopper to want to own it, and you get to set your pricing. Of course, the market has to accept the pricing if you're going to do business, but as long as it's at a market price point where people are willing to pay, as you say, you're not competing on price.
Exactly. I will qualify that, though, because I mentor many people setting up shops, and what I will say is there is a sweet spot of pricing where items will move more. And so you have to decide when you set up your shop, are you here for a hobby or are you going to make a career? Is this how you're going to make your living? And that will dictate how you set up your shop and how much work you put into it, I think. Because, again, once you start being successful, you're going to have to work hard.
Well, Sharon, you got to give it to us. What's the sweet spot for pricing?
Well, I think it depends on your category. You know, what you do, if you're a painter, of course. But for me, the sweet spot is between $15 and $40.
Okay. Because you get that impulse kind of, you know, they're buying online. They're obviously not seeing the goods. They're not able to try them on, pick them up, or, you know, handle them.
That's right.
Okay.
So for a first-time buyer, that's what they're willing to put out. After that, they'll order all sorts because now they know that you are the real deal. But at the beginning, and most of my buyers are first-time buyers, you know, I get a lot of repeat business but, as well. I'm constantly driving traffic to my site. Because once you get the shop set up and there's a lot of, you know, really those pictures are paramount when selling online. So the pictures are a huge, huge thing. Once you get your shop set up, then you have to go to search engine optimization and social media to get yourself out there.
Right. You still have to drive in because within Etsy, you know, it's a competitive marketplace. And so there are probably lots
of
other
silversmiths. There's more jewelers on there than anybody else. So how do I keep at the top of those search engines?
And that
is by driving traffic to my shop, by getting, because Google and everything else, all those search engines, it's about clickage. How many clicks do you get? And that drives you further to the top in these things. So you want to get as much traffic as possible.
And is there a way to compete more favorably within the marketplace? So in other words, we already know that people coming to Etsy as a shopper, a buyer, they're coming kind of knowing what they're coming for, right? One-off, unique kind of goods, crafts, artist goods. But within that playing field now of potential buyers, you've got to get noticed. Are there ways or tips, tricks that you can share with us to help get noticed amongst the competition within the Etsy environment?
Yes, study search engine optimization.
Okay.
You need to know what to put in your titles so that you are seen. And search engine optimization, I can't speak on in a few short minutes. As well, that is married with social media. So you're going to have to know your internet. You're going to have to get out there, find out what social media does. Again, to get higher in these rankings, what you need is traffic at your site.
Right.
And again, that's clicks. That's people clicking on your shop.
Right.
So you do get higher in those search engines the more traffic that is at your site. It's the same for Google or any other search engine.
Sure, sure. So those same principles apply.
That's the big trick.
Yep. Okay. Well, Sharon, I can't thank you enough. Sharon Duca, an Etsy expert, thank you so much for being on Startup Nation Radio, sharing your wisdom. And when we come back, we're going to hear from a couple of Etsy store owners who are making it work for them on Etsy. Sharon, thanks so much for being on.
You're welcome.
Okay. Right back in a minute on Startup Nation Radio with a couple of Etsy stores making it work for them. Stick with us on Startup Nation Radio.
It's Startup Nation on News Talk 760 WJR. Here's Jeff Sloan.
Okay, welcome back to Startup Nation Radio. Very cool show talking about exchanges, eBay, and Etsy, and how you can get to be part of the action on Etsy alone. Last year, $1.4 billion in sales, and we know eBay was many, many, many more times than that. So great, powerful stuff. Great way to get into business, learning a lot. We talked to an eBay expert earlier. We talked just now to an Etsy expert. And now we're going to talk to a couple of guys who have Etsy stores of their own. Before we get to that, again, recognizing our sponsors, Pappas Financial, Walsh College, and Comerica Bank. And guys, you guys have Etsy businesses. You're making it work for you. We've got Chris Brown in the studio, and we've also got Ben Amoro. Guys, welcome to Startup Nation Radio.
Thank you so much.
All right, good to have you on. So you guys have Etsy businesses.
Yeah.
Tell us what each of you sell. Ben.
I sell their faux marquee signs. So basically, like the Fox Theater was selling their old marquee signs. I make ones that are look like that, but are fake.
They're knockoffs.
Yeah, they're paper products to make look like metal. So, I mean, it's people love them.
Where does that idea come from?
It started at my wedding, actually. I made a couple for my wife because she wanted them there. And, you know, a lot of people were asking at the reception.
Was the sign, "Welcome to Las Vegas"?
No. It was a love sign and a bar sign.
Okay, cool.
And, a lot of people were asking about them. And it just kind of clicked in my head when we were on our honeymoon. And I was like, I could actually do this. So we got back and I threw a couple things on, and it's now almost a year later, and it's taken off like crazy.
And it's working for you. You're making money.
Yeah, definitely.
Incredible. Full-time, part-time?
It's been full-time now for about 3 months.
Okay, good. Good for you. Great. And Chris?
We make, my wife and I started the Etsy business in about 2012. We make geography-themed and history-themed word art prints. So they're 11 by 14 prints. And basically what we do is we take a series of words, for example, the Irish pubs one I have here. We take anywhere between 200 and 300 words, and in that case they're Irish pubs, and put them together so that they form the shape of either a map or a skyline or some other object. In the case of the Irish pubs, it's a map of Ireland and Northern Ireland. But we have skylines. We've just started a new batch where we're doing craft beers for different states. So we have all the craft beers in the shape of the state. And we have coming out this week some college prints where we've done one for Ann Arbor and East Lansing, and we've basically taken all the words associated with the universities there, dormitories, college buildings, college bars, other landmarks on the campus, and put them together into a map of Michigan, and that's
very
what
cool.
we do.
Very cool, and it's obviously working for you too.
Absolutely,
full-time,
yes.
Part-time?
I'm actually part-time right now. You know, a lot of what I do, we have a one-year-old daughter, so a lot of what we do, I cram in at the end of the night,
yeah.
but it's worked fabulously for us. We can't complain at all. It's been great.
That's really cool, and I think you provided our giveaway today, right?
Yes,
well,
I did.
And
yep.
As a matter of fact, we have a caller, and we're going to do the little giveaway right now. We've got Matt G. from Macomb, Michigan. Matt, welcome to Startup Nation Radio. You're our winner.
All right, thanks.
You're our winner.
About the giveaway.
Yeah. Chris, tell him what he won.
You basically won a Detroit skyline print. So essentially, it's an outline of the Detroit skyline.
Hey, the winner takes it on me. Yeah. Cool.
It's an outline of the Detroit skyline. It's got all sorts of words associated with Detroit, everything from major symbols like the Renaissance Center and Woodward to some smaller things like St. Andrew's Hall or some lower, some of the bars and establishments in the city that you might recognize.
Okay. You didn't supply any of that craft beer into the engineering room, but it's good. I think they're partying in there. You hear all the supplies.
I don't think so.
All right. None of that, Bree. All right. Listen, Matt, congratulations. You're going to love it. It's very cool. I see it here in the studio. So, guys, tell us, give us some of the tips if you're going to get started. We talked to an Etsy expert. We learned the basics, the protocol, the methodology, step one, step two, that kind of stuff. But break it down for us. Are there things that where they jump to mind that you must do or you should avoid where you can help our listeners get started on Etsy?
I think you just got to go for it. One of the things I've always said is that I know on one of your recent episodes you had a Pinterest expert on there. I look at Etsy as sort of like the marketplace for Pinterest. So all the things that especially women seem to love, you can get it over on Etsy.
Is there a way then, if people are pinning things on Pinterest, is there a way to connect, to be able to drive traffic from Pinterest to your Etsy store?
Well, we do. We have a Pinterest account. So we go on there and every print that we make, once we put them up for sale, we pin them. So that they're available on Pinterest, and then that does drive quite a bit of traffic to us.
And that gets to the point about, even though they provide Etsy provides this exchange and the infrastructure and everything else, you got to work for it, right? I mean, you got to get the traffic coming your way. You got to be creative. You got to do the SEO, the social media stuff. And Pinterest is an example of that.
You do. That helps a lot. The social media is really the only form of advertising we've ever done, and a lot of the traffic is just driven from people going on Etsy and searching for Detroit, let's say, and they find our prints and then they buy them.
And Ben, anything jump to mind? Do's, don'ts?
Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely your number one thing is going to be your photos. You want to have clear, what I like we're starting to now go to is high-key photos. So white background, nice and clean. You can see every little bit of your product. Honestly, when somebody looks at your product, they want to know what they're getting. So a good, clean, crisp photo is like the number one thing I would say that you would have to do.
I'm really glad you brought that up because we haven't talked about that yet. But, so much of the internet now is visual and it is about photos. And you do have to have great, great, compelling photos, right? I mean, if you've got a great product and it's presented in a blurry or dark or, unappealing photo, that's not helping you at all.
Right. You can't sit there and take a picture, with your cell phone that's, 4 years old and expect someone to come and purchase your item.
So the great photo. Now, listen, we a minute or two ago just announced Matt as the winner, but he also had to earn it. So I'm going to let Matt share a little bit of the hosting duties here of asking the tough questions. I know he's got a question. I don't know which guest it's for, but we're going to find out in a minute. I know he's got a great question. So, Matt, welcome back onto the show now. You've got to earn the prize. You won it. Bree selected your question, but now you got to deliver it. And hopefully we'll learn a thing or two by a great question you're about to pose.
Yeah, actually, it's to be answered by both, actually. I'm just curious on what percentage of your sales are actually stateside or local versus international.
Well, for us, with these marquee signs, most of them are from the U.S., but we do have a lot of Australia and European. I've sold some to Russia. I mean, it's, I would say it's almost 40-60. 40 being, you know, across the pond, and then 60 being
Chris, us. Quickly, you guys?
About, actually, ours is probably, I'd say, 98% stateside.
Right.
We've sold a few to Australia, a couple to Europe, but most of it's on this side of the pond.
Very cool. Well, I want everyone to be able to check you guys out quickly. Chris, how do they find you on Etsy?
They can find us on www.etsy.com/shop/for the love of maps.
For the love of maps. And Ben?
And then for us, it's etsy.com/marquee market.
Marquee Market. And Marquee is M-A-R-Q-U-I-S-E. E-E. There you go. Glad I said, okay, great. I'm glad we got that in. M-A-R-Q-U-I-S-E-E. All right, right on, guys. Thanks so much for sharing your wisdom. Thanks for being on the show. Great show today. Listen, there's hardly any excuse out there. If you want to be in business, whether part-time or full-time, bringing in extra income, pride of ownership, everything that goes with having a business of your own, check out eBay and Etsy. It's a great way to do it. Great show here today. Thanks to Bree Sissoko. Great show, Bree. You put it all together again. You brought home a winner. And hey, we'll see you back here next week on Startup Nation with another great show helping you get into business. So between this week and next week, this is what we say at Startup Nation Radio, start it up.